We are on Daf Mem Hamed Beis
at the Gufa,
at the two dots. And the Gemara says the following.
Gufa, Amar Rav Dini Bar Yosef Amar Rav. Shlosh Sh'achu Ka'achas V'yotza Echad Mehem Lashuk.
Three people started eating together, they ate together, and therefore they're Chayev to have a Zimun. And one of them went into the street. He went out to go back to begin his business. I imagine this might be a case of there two people are sitting. These are people who are work in this market area, and two of them are still eating, and then third guy went out to resume his work. So Rav says that Korin lo umizamnin alav. You call out him to get his attention, so he'll pay attention and respond. So you could say, nevarich shacham shelo, and he'll say baruch shacham mishal tochinu along with them. So Korin lo umizamnin alav. It's okay. He doesn't have to come sit down. Amar Abaye v'hu dekari le v'ani. In other words, he has to respond. Right? They call him. He responds when they do berachas hazimun. Amar marzutra v'lo amaran ela b'shlosha. Ala b'sara adenaisi. That's only true when it comes to three people. But if it's a zimun with 10 people, so that 10th person has to come sit down with them. He has to rejoin them. So Maskif la Ravashi. So Ravashi asked a question just from Svara. That's what Maskif means. There's no Braisa, no Tanadic source. Adarava. It should be the opposite. Ipcha mistabra. Tisha or Nirin Kaasara. Whereas Shnayim e Nirin Kishlosha. If part of the idea, it's kind of a funny idea, but you want things to look like, it's all kosher. So you have nine people sitting there, and the tenth guy is on the other side of the street doing his business. Okay, but it looks like there are 10 people making Zimun. There are 10 people making Zimun, it's just one of them is not sitting here. But if you have three people, and only two of them are sitting there, it's bole that there's not a Zimun there, even though there really is a Zimun. So he said, one would expect it to be the opposite. The Gemara says, nonetheless, the Hilchasa Kamar Zutra, we pass the light Mar Zutra, my time of Kevin the boy la'ad kure shem shemayim, botzer me'asara la'var achar. Since you wish to mention God's name, and it's worth noting, it's very clear from the Gemara Megillah that Zimun b'shem is not a davar shebekdusha. Even though we mention Shem Hashem, even though we have a minyan there, it's not a davar shebekdusha because the Gemara in Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah, lists a series of things that require 10. And Tfilah is one of the Tfilah receivers, one of them. And Zimun of Asara requires that. But the Gemara offers the reason for most of the dinim in the Mishnah, the reason you need 10 people is because Minikdashki Besof B'nei Yisrael, Ad Masai, what's the other Pasuk? Well, except for this by Korach, that's the weird thing. The pasuk that came to mind, Hibadl mitochai da'azos, except for that's Adas Korach, not the Meraglim. And we know the Meraglim ironically teach us that you need a minion of 10, because Ad Masai lei dohara hazos, Yatsu Yeshua v'kalev, who were not batzasa Meraglim. So anyway, that's the makor for kol davar shebekdusha is not the pachos me'asara. So the Gemara doesn't, when it gets to Zimun B'Shem, Eim Mezamna B'Shem, B'Pachos Me'asara, it doesn't give that reason. It says because it's not Orach Ara to mention God's name in less than 10 people. So why do you need to give me this Svar of Lav Orach Ara that it's not their heritage, it's not B'Kavadik? Just say it's a Davar Shebekdusha. The answer is because it's not a Davar Shebekdusha. Okay. So anyway, but it's the same story here. Kevan the Ba'at, this is probably the exact language of the Gemara Megillah. It's on Dachach Lumon Beis. It's just not their acharet. So therefore, it doesn't matter. There's a very loose serif between the two and the one. If he answers, it's fine. But not to have 10 people in one place when you're mentioning Shem Shemayim, it doesn't matter if he's mitzarek to the zimun standing in the shuk. It's still not appropriate to do so. Fine. Amar Abaye. There are a whole series of small dinim coming up here. Amar Abaye. Naktinan. Shnaim she'achlu ka'achas. Mitzvah lechalik. So we've discussed this in the last year. Two people who ate at the same time, there's a mitzvah for them to split up. Each one make their own venture. Tanya mihalchi, shnayim shachol ka'achas mitzvah lechalik, b'metzvah amurim, k'sheshneim sofrim. If they're both scholarly, meaning they know how to bench. Aval echad sofer v'echad bor, sofer mevarech u'bor yotzei. When one of them doesn't know how to bench, so the other one should be motzi them. So we mentioned this briefly last week. The discussion in the Bishonah about women women making a zimun on the one hand, but even more so, how does a woman fulfill her obligation of Birkas HaMazon? So women are obligated in Birkas HaMazon, so why would they be different than men? So this is, they're not different than men. The question was, in the medieval period, women didn't receive an education, and therefore they didn't know how to bench. But the Rishonim, a number of the Rishonim say, and we mentioned this last year, a number of Rishonim say that you're not Yotze, you don't fulfill your obligation in Birkas HaMazon, if you don't understand what you're saying. So some Rishonim say that women can't be Yotze with the Zibud, they actually have to bench themselves, and if they don't know the Hebrew, it means they have to say some kind of Birkas HaMazon, but they have to understand, it's not just women, everybody does. Everybody has to understand what they're saying. And so the problem, of course, what do you do with this Gemara? Well, you have a sofer and a boor. So the Gemara says that if one of them knows how to bench, one of them doesn't know how to bench. So in this case, even though you don't have a zimun because there aren't three, still you should have the sofer bench and the boor will answer. So the Rabbeinu Yehuda says, probably the boor, well, he's not articulate enough, he doesn't know the benching, he can't recite all the Hebrew, he understands what's being said, therefore he can fulfill his obligation. But if a person doesn't understand the contents of the benching, so many Rishonim say that you don't fulfill your obligation. According to those Rishonim, it means that if you don't understand the basic meaning of the words of the benching, you should get a bencher in English, and that's how you should bench. That's the proper thing to do, because you can bench in any language. Other Rishonim say, and I think that this is the accepted practice, is that if the benching is done in Hebrew, then you don't have to understand. And they point to that Gemara Megillah we mentioned. The Mishnah Megillah says that you can read the Megillah in any language, but if you read it in Hebrew, if you read it in the original, so then even if you don't understand what's being said, you fulfill your obligation. But once you read it in another language, if you're going to have a very good translation of the Megillah into the English language, so then, in order for you to fulfill your obligation in reading that or hearing it read, you have to understand English. Okay, so that I think is really the accepted practice when it comes to Birkas HaMazon, even though the other position might be somewhat more logical. Okay.
And the idea that it's better to say the bracha on your own is different than for other brachas where we're mowed to each other because there's something special about benching?
No, because so this is the interesting question. In principle, it's the same question. By Birkas Hananen, let me frame it that way. By Birkas Hananen, by things that you're not a bracha on a mitzvah. On a bracha mitzvah, there's probably no particular reason. Let's say five of us are making the bracha on Lulav and Esrog. There's probably no particularly good reason that one of us can't make the bracha for everybody. But by a Birkas Hananen, so remember, in principle, everybody should have to make their own bracha. Or certainly, let me put it this way. Let's say the five of you are sitting here. I already fulfilled my obligation of taking the Lulav and Esrog. And now you need to do so. Can I make the bracha for the five of you? And the answer is yes, because kol ha-brachos, yatza motzi, even though I fulfill my obligation. The only exception the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says applies is if it's a birchas hananen. So if I am eating an apple, I make a bracha bar praise, you can fulfill your obligation with that, provided that I'm eating. But you can't have it that I am not eating, and you are, and as I make the bracha, and you are nana. The only exception to that, the Gemara says, is Kiddush, where I can make the Bari Pri HaGafen and make the Kiddush, and even though I don't drink anything, you drink. The reason why you can do that is because the Bari Pri HaGafen becomes subsidiary to the Kiddush itself. And since Kiddush is just a regular mitzvah, even though I fulfill my obligation, I can be motzi you. However, and the other example coming up, God willing, in a month and a half, is matzah, achilas matzah. Not Friday night, but achilas matzah. So when we eat matzah at the Seder, we make two brachas. We make hamotzi lechem aretz, and then make the bracha of achilas matzah. So since I can imotzi you, no pun intended, with the bracha of achilas matzah, because you're doing the mitzvah eating matzah, and I can help you, I can't eat the matzah for you, that you can't do. You have to eat the matzah yourself, but I can do the bracha for you. So I can do that bracha even if I weren't eating matzah, because it's like a regular bracha of a mitzvah. Therefore, I can also make the hamotzi for you, along with the achilas matzah, even though I'm not eating right now. So if you, I don't know, you probably don't have this anymore, but it used to be, it's very clear when you look at the Shulchan Aruch, that Rabbanim, you know, in Europe, they would, some of them, it seems, or it's just not in Europe, because like earlier, we shown to talk about this. Let's say you have other people don't know how to make their Seder. So you do your own Seder first, and then you're going to go to other places and help them. They talk about if you start in your place, can you bench there, and so on. This is discussed in the Rishonim. But at a minimum, you may have made the bracha of hamotzi yourself and achilas matzah. But when you go to their house, if they don't know how to make the brachas, you can make both brachas for them as well. But with the exception of those two things, every other bircha sananim, every time you make a bracha before food, and presumably, in principle, it should have applied. It doesn't in the same way. You think it would apply after? Well, it does actually. Brachas afterwards also require you to have eaten something. We've spoken about, and we're going to come across it in our parak, the very complicated case, the story of Shimon ben Shetach. His wife, Alexandria, Shlom Tzion Hamalka, so she was married to the very noble Yanai Hamelech, Alexander Janaeus, not exactly so noble. And so the story in the Gemara is that they had a whole meal, and then remember that Yanai had killed all the Pharisees. So now they finished the meal, they didn't know how to bench. They said, we need someone who had a bench. So his wife says to him, Shlom Tzion, Shimon Shetach's sister says, promise me that if I bring you someone to the bench, you won't give him a hard time. So he said, fine. So she produces Shimon ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach says, before he said, to help us bench, first I need a glass of wine. And he drinks a glass of wine, and then he's willing to bench him. And the Gemara says that that's not acceptable, actually. He has to have eaten a kezias of dagon. He had to at least eat one kezias of bread. Now, the Rishonim are going to, then he can bench for them. So the question a lot of the Rishonim ask, we know that there's a dispute as to when are you obligated from a Torah perspective to bench? There are two possibilities. Either if you eat, let's say, a kezias, or if you eat kedei svia, state yourself. So we usually assume, most Rishonim assume, that until you've had kedei svia, until you've had enough that you're full, there is no Torah obligation to bench. But if you have a kezias, there's a rabbinic obligation to bench. So the question is, the Gemara says that in order to bench for other people, you have to have a kezias. Shimon ben Shetach should have eaten a kezias. So ask yourself a question. How much food did Yanai and his buddies in Shalom Tzion Malka have? Did they just have a little snack? Or did they stuff themselves? And so, of course, they ate kedei svia. They were totally full. So how can Shimon ben Shetach, how can he help them fulfill their obligation of Birchas HaMazon if he is not obligated min HaTorah to bench, but they are, right? The general rule is if you're not obligated in the mitzvah, you can't do the mitzvah to help someone else fulfill their obligation.
Even the king?
What's that?
Even the king?
I mean, you know, yes. Why would the king be different? I mean, you mean because of, listen, if you're worried about Satanas Nefashos, so you might just tell him you fulfilled the obligation. But in reality, how could you help him fulfill his obligation if you're obligated rabbinically and he's obligated in the Midoraisa? He's obligated scripturally. So the answer that many Rishonim give is that we did this machlokas a long time ago, but it's been a long. By the time we get the daf mem zayin mem vav, it's been a long time. So we'll go over the thing. But what many Rishonim say is yes, the Torah obligation is kedei svia. But here's the story: any person who is in principle obligated to say birchas hamazon after they eat, if they were to eat a full meal, they are called mechuyav badavar. They are considered a person who's in principle obligated. And therefore, they can help someone who is obligated, even if they haven't eaten, they can help someone who has to eat fulfill their obligation. Just as I can make the bracha on lula for you, I can make the bracha on berchas hamazon for you. In which case, in principle, min haTorah, if you all ate, and you ate kedei svia, and I eat nothing, I've been fasting for 48 hours, I can come in and I can make the berchas hamazon for you, like any other mitzvah. But midrabanan, because birchas hamazon is attached to hana'ah, the benefit of the eating food, the rabbanan said that I have to eat something in order to help you fulfill your obligation. So Shimon ben Shetach thought it was enough to drink a glass of wine, and we say no, because when you drink a glass of wine, you're not even obligated midrabanan to bench. But if Shimon ben Shetach had eaten a kezias, so then once he's obligated midrabanan, the rabbanan said, well, listen. Min haTorah, you don't have to eat anything to help people fulfill the obligation. But we don't like the idea that someone gets no hana'ah and makes what looks like is a birchas hanenin, a bracha made over the hana'ah food. It's not really. Birchas hamazon is not a birchas hanenin. Hamotzi lachem naretz is a birchas hanenin. But because it's connected to the benefit you got from food, Chachamim said you have to at least eat something before you do the benching for others. And that's something. It happens to be the minimum shear of food that you would have to eat in order to at least be rabbinically obligated. So, in this case, you know, if a person had not eaten a sofer and a boor, a sofer could not be motzi, the boor, the ignoramus, he couldn't be help him fulfill his obligation. What he could do is, he could say, repeat after me, Baruch, and then the boor has to say Baruch. Word for word, that he can do. The same way the Gemara says that a katan, who is not at all obligated, min hator, berchus hamazon, cannot be motzi his father if his father is obligated, but a katan could say, Abba, repeat after me, and word for word, recite the berchus hamazon, and the father would recite the berchus hamazon afterwards. So in this case, both of them have eaten. You need both of them to have eaten something. And the Gemara says that in principle, they should each make their own berchus hamazon. It's better that everybody make their own berchus hamazon. But if one of them doesn't know how, he can listen and fulfill his obligation by listening to the other person make the berchus hamazon. The point we made repeatedly over the last couple of weeks is that why doesn't the same thing apply by Zimun when you have three people? Wouldn't it be better that everybody make their own bracha? The answer is yes, it would be better that everybody make their own bracha. And when you do a Zimun and one person benches, and in principle is supposed to bench everything out loud, that is one person. That is, every single person is making berachas hamazon, because when you have a zimun, it is everybody's bracha. It's not just the person who's articulating the words.
So if it's considered a berachas hamitz, so berachas hananin, you have to make for yourself. You have to make for yourself.
Or you have you, in order to make for others, you yourself have to be eating also.
Okay. But a berachas hamitzvah, you can be yatzah motzi. And correct. It's okay to be yatzah. And certainly if you were Yotzei, if you're making Kiddush for everybody in the room, there's certainly no, it's no worse to make Kiddush for everybody than it is for everybody to make their own Kiddush.
Correct.
So why, in this case, is it better for everybody to make their own Berachas HaMitzvah?
No, because it has the component of Berachas HaNenen, it is and it's not Berachas Kulam. In other words, two people is not a Zimun. And therefore, right. When one makes the Berachas HaMazon, the other one isn't making Berachas HaMazon. He's fulfilling his obligation through listening, through Shomei HaKa'oneh. So Berachas HaNenen, really, there's a pref... Oh, you're asking the question... No. So again, when one person makes the Hamotzi for the people gathered... So one might say that in fact, is everybody's bracha. Right, that's why the Gemara that we learned in the sixth parak suggested that in order to have one person make the bracha for everybody, you need to have hesebu. It has to be, they have to fuse together as one group, and then one person makes the bracha. It's under those circumstances that we say one person makes the bracha for all. It happens to be that when it comes to a bracha before eating, let's say in Kiddush, it doesn't matter whether you have a zimun. Any number of people fuse together. For the purposes of Birchas HaMazon, you need three to fuse together in order to constitute a zimun. So when you only
Kiddush
have two...
Kiddush brings everybody together. That's considered everybody's bracha.
Well, the rule is, the Gemara says, hey, Sebu, you have to recline.
Okay.
We don't recline anymore. So Tosa says, mm-hmm. For us, sitting is the new reclining. Mm-hmm. So when we sit around, and the Rishonim say that a balabayas at his table is automatically, with the family, is automatically considered combined. It's automatically,
But two people can't be, that doesn't mitzvah.
No,
right?
They could.
For benching.
For benching, the requirement is three people who can combine to make a zimun. Yeah.
Rabbi, when somebody is leading Birkat HaMazon, should they be saying every word out loud? Because there may be people who shomei ha'kaoneh.
So the answer to that question is yes. You really, very few people do it. You're supposed to recite everything out loud. Now, what the Shulchan Aruch says is that what we know is that in a perfect world, everybody at the table would be silent and listen, and that's the ideal way that everybody should fulfill their obligation. Because when you do a zimun, again, it's birkas kulam. One person is mouthing the words and articulating the words, but it's everybody's bracha. They're not being Yotzei through Shomei HaKa'oneh. It's his bracha, but they fulfill their obligation. It is their bracha. That's what a zimun is. The problem, what the Rishonim say and the Shulchan Aruch already quotes, is that we know what happens if you were to have one person bench out loud and everybody else listen. Unfortunately, we know what would happen. People stop paying attention. People start schmoozing. Therefore, what's recommended is that people bench themselves, but they should bench quietly, And the mezamein should bench out loud. You don't see that too often, but that would appear to be the proper procedure, especially if everybody has benchers, right? If you're going to have everybody bench, and nobody has benchers, it's harder when someone's benching out loud because it's going to distract the people. But if everybody is a bencher, the best practices would be that the mezamein says the first four brachos all out loud. Yeah.
They just amen anyway, so that.
But amen doesn't help you if you don't need amen. If let's say I'm being yotze with you a bracha, you make birchas hamazon. Of course I'm supposed to answer amen. But if I listen to every word with the intent to be yotze, and you would articulate every word with the intent to help me fulfill my obligation, I don't have to answer amen. Amen is not necessary to fulfill one's obligation. It's necessary and appropriate because you answer amen when you hear God or somebody utter a blessing. But you don't need to fulfill your obligation. So if you didn't listen to enough of the words that were benching, that were being articulated, the fact that you answer amen is not going to help you. You need to hear whatever minimum amount of words are required for the Birkas HaMazon. We have a lot of language in our Birkas HaMazon, which if you didn't say, you still fulfilled your obligation. Later in the parak, not too far, another daf, we'll learn that if you don't speak about the bris milah in the second bracha, and you don't speak about the keeping of the Torah in the second bracha, you don't fulfill your obligation. If you don't mention Malchus Beis David, the Davidic house in the third bracha, you don't fulfill your obligation. So there are certain minimal standards that are required, but once you mention those, even if you leave out all the other flowery stuff, you still fulfill your obligation. So if a person doesn't hear at least all the minimum stuff, answer amen is not going to help them fulfill their obligation. Okay. All right, so now we resume on Daf Mem Hamad Beis, about six lines, where we just, at the two dots, six lines before they get wide. Amar Rava, Hamilsa, Amrisa Ana. Rava says the following, what he's about to say, I said it myself, and then V'it Amra Mishmeid Rabbi Zera Kavasi. And Rabbi Zera, who's older than Rava, it's like I would say, I came up with a great chiddush, I said it myself, and it turns out the Rosh Hechter said it also. He said it first. So I feel good, because I know it's probably correct. So Rabbi says, Rabbi Zeir already said it. Shlosh sh'achul ka'achas, echad mafsik l'shnayim, ve'ein shnayim mafsikin le'echad. This is a practice that some of you are probably familiar with. It's particularly common, I would say, in yeshiva lunchrooms, where a few guys sit down to eat together, but everybody's in a rush. So a couple of guys finish, one guy is a little bit more a slower eater, so the other two want to bench, or maybe one guy's a really quick eater, and the other two are still eating. But once three people join together to eat, you're not allowed to leave until you make a zimun and bench. So some of you are probably aware of what we typically do is that, especially if it's one person leaving, or if it's two people leaving, and everybody agrees, so one person leads the benching, they say the zimun, nevarech she'achalnu mishalom, and then everybody responds. And then, as you know, the common practice, and we'll see it's going to emerge in the next amud, next daf, how we get to this, but the common practice is the person who said the zimun says the first bracha out loud. The person who was continuing eating waits to eat until he finishes the mezamein, finishes the first bracha, and then he answers amen, and he goes back to eating, and the guys who are benching finish their benching. And then when the party who was eating still, who didn't finish his thing, once he's done, he just benches regularly. He has no obligation of zimun because he fulfilled his obligation of zimun already when they made that zimun initially. Now, the Gemara Rava said that if you have one person who's still eating, echad is mafsit l'shnayim. He should stop, let the other two bench, right? He should interrupt his eating. He doesn't want to interrupt his eating. He's enjoying it. It's delicious. Very nice. But derech eretz is you stop and wait for the other, let the other two people go. Don't keep them sitting here. You have an obligation of zimun. You can do the zimun and you can keep eating. It's not going to cost you anything. But two do not need to wait for one. Two do not need to wait for one. So the Gemara says, velo, they don't. Two don't need to interrupt, to stop for one. Velo, v'harat papa, afsikle, la'aba, mar berei, ihu v'chad. Rab Papa interrupted for Abba Mari, here his son, and it was Rab Papa and somebody else. They were both eating. His son, I guess, was a really good fresher, so he was finished already. And they interrupted, so they can make a zimun. So you said two don't have to interrupt for one. So the Gemara answers, Rapapa, Shani Rapapa, the Lefnim Meshuras Adin, who the other? You're right, Rapapa and Vachad, whoever the other person was, they didn't have to interrupt for Rapapa's son, but Rapapa was the person who liked to do Lefnim Meshuras Adin. So two people don't have to stop their meal for one, but they can. So it's a nice thing to do. You're not obligated. Miderech Eretz, you follow the majority. Okay. And so that is the halacha. Now the Gemara tells the story. Yehud, the first wide line. Yehuda bar Meremar, Umar bar Ravashi, the Rav Acha midifte. These three Amorai, Karchi rifta v'hade adadi. They broke bread together, meaning they were chayiv in zimun. But lo havu bahochad dahava muchlag mechavero levaruchenhu. Generally speaking, when you don't have a balabayas, when you have a balabayas, the Gemara is going to say adafim vava mer aleph. The next page, the Gemara is going to say there's a dispute who's supposed to be lead the berachas hamazon. Some say the balabayas, some say the guest. But that's only when you have a balabayas. If three guys, three friends get together to eat, then there is a prioritization scheme. Who's supposed to bench? And one of the priorities is the gadol. If one of them is announced clearly. It's muflag mechaverav. He clearly is distinct from them, where it's clearly understood that he is, you know, a gadol batorah in comparison to them. So then he's supposed to bench. But these three musketeers said, hey, none of them were, you know, particularly stood out for one another. So what should they do? So they said to themselves, haditzan shlosha sha'achul ka'achas chayav lezamein. Maybe hani mili hecha de'ika adab gadol. But it's only if there's one person who's a standout. But if they are of equal in stature, chiluk brachos adif. Maybe better to divide up each person, make their own bracha. So what do they do? Baruch inish lenafshe. They each made their own bracha. They didn't make a zimun. So asu lekamei the mereimar. They came in front of the mereimar. Amaluhu. He said to them, "Idei bracha yitzasem. You fulfilled your obligation of birkas amazon." But you didn't zimun lo yitzasem. But you didn't. You had an obligation of zimun, and you blew that. You didn't fulfill that. V'chi teimru, unless you say, "Oh, nehadir nizamein, let's go make a zimun now," which makes no sense. He says to them, "Ein zimun lamafreya." Why is there no zimun lamafreya? Why can't you do zimun lamafreya? What happens? This is a good question. I don't know the answer for sure, but I think I know the answer. Let's say you make the second bracha birchas hamazon before you make the first bracha. Well, let's say better. Let's come. Let's say you make hatov amit the first, and then you say the rest birchas rest. Then you say the remaining three brachas. Do you fulfill your obligation? I presume yes. Like in Kriya Shema, if you read the parshios out of order, so as long as you read each parsha within it, all the verses in order, so then that's fine. Now, so I don't know what the rule is by Birkas HaMazon. Now, the reason by Kriya Shema, part of the reason why that's true, is because the Parshios themselves don't follow the order of the Torah. Because the Parshios of Kriya Shema actually go 3-1-2. Right? Parsha Tzitzis is in Shlach, and then Shema and Vayim Shema do go in order in Vayeschan, Parshios Vayeschan, and Parshios Eken. But I don't know for sure what the din by Birkas HaMazon is. It's complicated because the Gemara will actually point this out later. The last two brachos, or the first three brachos of Birchas HaMazon, the second and third brachos don't begin with a bracha. They only end with a bracha. Why? Because they're a bracha smucha l'chaverta. They're leaning on the first bracha. The first bracha of Birchas HaMazon, as would be with any long bracha first in the series, you make a bracha at the beginning, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Ushem Umalchus, Hazan Asal Kulo, and you end with the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Hazan Asakol. No Delecha doesn't start with the bracha because it's a bracha hasmucha lachaberta. The Gemara will quote it in the bottom of the next page. And ditto for Rachem Na, for Bonei Yerushalayim. So I don't know how that works. If one is a bracha hasmucha lachaberta and you make it first, so it means you're not opening with the bracha. So I don't know exactly what the deal is. But Zimun in particular makes absolutely no sense. Thematically, if I recite the brachos that make up Birchas HaMazon out of order, it makes perfect sense. I'm thanking God for A, I'm thanking God for B, I'm thanking God for C. So if I thank Him for B first, or C first, okay, they're sort of independent things. I have to thank God for the food, whether He gives us Eretz Yisrael or not. I have to thank Him for Eretz Yisrael, whether He gives us food or not. They're not mutually dependent upon one another in principle. Whereas, what Zimun says is, Nevarech Shechal Mishalo, let's make a bracha, let's make Birchas HaMazon. Well, you can't do that once you made Birchas HaMazon. In fact, I don't. The Gemara will say at some point, if three people ate together, and one of them goes ahead and says that, but he benches already, he can still, they can still have a zimun, and he'll answer, but he has lost his mitzvah zimun, because he's not going to bench afterwards. Okay, so he said to them, you blew it, it's too late, you shouldn't have made your own brachos, they know for the next time. Ba'u mitzan kishehim avarchim. This happens not so infrequently. You walk in, and, you know, let's say you go and visit your friend on Shabbos, and, you know, their meal was schlepping along, and now they're ready to bench, and you didn't eat anything. So, what do you say? What bracha? You can't say Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo if you didn't eat, because that would be sheker. If you ate anything, you could answer Baruch she'achalnu mishalo, and then you make whatever bracha achrona you're supposed to make. So, if you had a few grapes, you can say Baruch Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo tocheinu, and then you can make your own ala eitz ve'al pri eitz. If you had something to drink, so you can make a bar nefashos. But if you didn't have anything to eat, you can't say Baruch Shachan Mishalo, because that's sheker. That's just not true. So what do you do when you walk in and they're benching now? So the Gemara quotes two different ideas. Razvid Amar Baruch Umevorach, which is a shorthand for Tosas quotes Baruch Umevorach Shemo Tamid Olam Vayed. It's an expression that I usually can get, but I don't always get it perfectly because it's actually useful to know it. And you come to someone's house, I haven't seen them print that in the benches, but I haven't looked too carefully. But it's Baruch Umevorach Shemo Tamid Leolam Vayed. You can't say Baruch Shachan Mishlo, but you can say God's name is blessed. That's one approach. Rav Papa Omer, Oneh Amen. All you respond to them is Amen when they make the Zimun. So the Gemara explains, Velo Pli, there's no dispute between these two opinions. It depends whether or not that you hear them, you walk in, and the Mizamein said, Nivarech she'achalnu mishalo. He said, let's give blessings to those from whom we ate. And now everybody's supposed to respond, giving God a bracha. So the people who ate say, Baruch she'achalnu mishalo, tzvochayinu. And the people who didn't eat say, Baruch umavorach shemo, tamid le'olam v'ayet. The Gemara probably spells that out. Whereas v'hada ashkechinu dekaamri baruch, if the people are already saying, if he missed the mizamein's invitation to make the bracha, and now he's coming in, he just hears them saying baruch shachanu shelo tocheinu, so they just made a bracha. So the appropriate response is amen. So that's the Gemara spells it out. Ashkechinu dekaamri nevarech omer baruch umavarech. Ashkechinu dekaamri baruch one amen. Okay.
Rabbi, the story with the three who ate, it seems a little cryptic what the response is. You fulfilled your obligation for benching, but you didn't fulfill your obligation for zimun. It sort of seems like that's stating the obvious. They all benched.
I think it's because...
And they didn't do a zimun. So what's he coming to say?
So they thought his point to them was, yidei zimun lo yitzatem, you had an obligation of zimun. And you found, they thought what they were doing, that since there was no gadol, it was better they each made their own bracha and not do a zimun. And he's saying to them, yidei zimun lo yitzasem, is you were obligated to make a zimun, and you failed.
Strange way to say it.
Yeah, I guess.
It says.
I think it's, and he also may be doing that to set up the next statement, which is, and you'll say, but let me do the zimun now. Too late. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the next din, I don't know if there are any sardim. I have a question for you. Can I ask? When you finish Hashkivenu at night saying in Tfilat Arvit, what do you say after you finish your bracha yourself? Shomer Mo Yisrael Ad? Do you answer Amen? To your own bracha?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
Okay. I only asked my Shir assistant who happens to have on one side Iranian roots. He's a Sephardi Baal Tshuva. It means that he grew up Ashkenazized, and he has taken on, going back to his ancestral roots. He's a very, very fine young man and a fine Talmud Chacham. But anyway, so I asked him last night. I texted him. I said, "What bracha? When do you answer Amen to own brachas?" So let's read the Gemara. You'll see why. Ashkenazim, this sounds like a foreign religion to. Right? We know you never answer Amen after your own bracha, with only one exception, which is based upon this Gemara. So the Gemara says the following: Tani Chada. Four lines from the bottom of the page. I'm Mechayim Beis. Tani Chada Haone Amen Achar Kol Birchosav Hareze Mishubach. Someone that answers Amen after all of his brachos is praiseworthy. V'Tani Idach Hareze Meguneh. No, it's really, I don't know, I never have a good word for Meguna. I don't know how to...
Says despicable.
That's a little strong, you know. Meguna is kind of like, more like pasnished, you know, it's like, not so good. And despicable is a little less strong.
This has the
It has, yes, oh. Wait, that's at Ashkirenu. Yes. And it has Amen, yes. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's what the Mechaber says. We'll get to that in a second. So Amar, so Abaye, 1 second. Lo kasha, the Gemara says, is no contradiction. Ha bebona Yerushalayim, ha b'shar brachos. It depends after which bracha. After bona Yerushalayim, you answer Amen. After other brachos, doesn't matter what those brachos are, you don't answer Amen. So what does this mean? Why would you make a bracha after bona Yerushalayim? So Rashi writes, ha bebona Yerushalayim. It's the third to last Rashi on the page. He says, shehi sof ha-brachos, it's the end of the series of brachos, of Birchas HaMazon, ha-reza mishubach. Then Rashi says, v'chein b'sof brachos v'kriya shema, shachris v'arvis. When you say, shomer mo Yisrael lo'ad, you're davening by yourself, or even you're davening shul, when you finish the bracha, Rashi says, shomer mo Yisrael lo'ad, amen. When you say, go'al Yisrael, in the morning, you say, whether you're betzibur or not, now this Svardim don't do. This one they don't do. The Rambam says, not by Gal Yisrael. But Rashi says, you've said two brachos of Kriya Shema before, you're now saying the bracha afterwards. Go'alenu Hashem Tzor Shemo Kadosh Yisrael, Baruch Ata Hashem, Go'al Yisrael, Amen. That's what you say. Davini alone, Davini betzibur doesn't matter. That's what Rashi writes. So va'achar kol berchosa dekatani bebraisa hareza meshubach. The braisa that says it's good to answer Amen after all your brachos. Achar gimar kol berchos hakamar. When you finish a series of brachos, the achar kol berchos of dekatani hareza meguna besov kol bracha v'bracha kamar. When you say yotzer hamaros, you don't say amen. When you say abochem ma yisrael hava, you don't say amen. When you say gal yisrael, you say amen. When you say shomer ma yisrael ad, you say amen. When you say bonu yishalayim, which is the last of the three primary brachos of benching, you say amen. You would say amen. Some would say probably say to yishtabach, which is the end of baruch shomer. And Yishtabach. I don't know whether what Sfaradim do about that. I didn't ask my student about that question. So Tosus here just writes that Ha Bebona Yerushalayim Ha B'Shar Brachos Perush Rabbeinu Chananel V'Halachos Gedolos the Yesh Befarshim B'Chol Bracho Bracha Kegon Acha Yishtabach V'Chayotzevo. At the end of any series of brachos, Umi Upok Chazi Maya Amad Dvar. Tosus says, look what the minhag is. Shalom Nagu Lano Samein Ela Acha Bona Yerushalayim the Berachas Hamaser. So Tosa says the minhag is you only make it after Berachas Hamaser, after Bona Yerushalayim of Berachas Hamaser, and you don't make it at any other occasions. So if you go look into the Rambam says the Rambam has the kind of hybrid position. He does say after Hashkivenu. I think they have it after other things as well. I'm going to look at my student's text what he sent me last night. He said Yishtabach. He did say Yishtabach. Sim Shalom, in your own private Amida. When you finish, you say, Amavarech Samar Yisrael Bashalom, Amen. Sim Shalom and Hashkivenu. I did write to him, cool. Then I said, not after Gal Yisrael, though following the Rambam. He said, correct. So, anyway, so that is the, that is standard Sephardic practice. They don't do Gal Yisrael, but at the end of other sequences of brachos, they do answer Amen after their own bracha. The Ramah comes along, and he quotes Tosos and says, no, we only do it after Bona Yerushalayim. Okay. Anyway, fine. Now, the Gemara now talks about what the Amoraim would do because why do you answer Amen at the end of Bona Yerushalayim? That's not the last bracha of benching. The last bracha of benching is the fourth bracha, Hatov HaMeitiv. So the Gemara says the following. Abaye, the third to last line at the end of the line, Abaye Ani Le Bekala, Ki Heichi Delish Mupalim Vili Kumu. Abaye would answer Amen. He would say it really loud so the Poelim would know Birchas HaMazon for them was over and they would get up and go back to work. Because a Poel, someone who's working on the clock, does not say the fourth bracha of Birchas HaMazon. In fact, they typically, not in this case probably, would combine the second and third brachas. So we learn that in the second para. Why does the Poel not recite Hatov HaMeitiv? Because he's stealing from the Baal HaBayis. And the Chachamim decided that obligation, Hatov HaMeitiv, which is only rabbinic, it's not a Torah obligation to Birchas HaMazon, they exempted the Poel from so he would not reduce the time that he was spending working for the Baal HaBayis. Okay, so that's what Abaye would do. Rav Ashi took a different approach. Oni le belechisha, ki heche delo nizalzalu, rabbanon v'atov v'ametiv. He didn't want to do it that way. He didn't want to say the Amen out loud. Yes, the Poalim are supposed to get up, but he didn't want to answer Amen, because otherwise the Bachrim and the Yeshiva would say, oh, you know, the last fourth bracha, it really doesn't count, because we answer Amen after the third bracha. So he just didn't want them to get that impression. Mm-hmm. Now, he did say Amen silently. That's implied by the Gemara. He just, Abaye did it out loud, Rabashi only laid bilichishusa. Why? Because you're supposed to say Amen after the last in the series of brachos. But he didn't want to undermine things. Now, our practice, we don't have Poalim who leave, so that would be a reason. I think Tosa says that we don't recite it out loud. We don't have Poalim, so even Abaye would say there's no reason to answer. You don't have to make the announcement for the Poalim to get up and leave, because our Poalim say the fourth bracha. But it's not our practice. Our practice is to say the main out loud. I forget where I saw this, but the reason for that is that even though it's true that when you had Poalim who would get up and leave after the third bracha, people might take the bracha more lightly. But we all make the fourth bracha. So the fact that we're saying Amen, all it does is tell us is that the first three are Midrash and the fourth is Midrabanan. But it's not stopping us, or it's not making us treat the fourth bracha more lightly. We know the fourth bracha is Rabbanan. That doesn't mean we don't make it. It doesn't mean we don't take it seriously. It just means it's only the Rabbanan.
Otherwise it wouldn't say Harizah Meshubah.
Well, no, because you could still say it means it's silent. Right? In other words, you could adopt the Ravashi approach that you do it silently, so you get the best of all worlds. You answer our main thing, the secrets of brachos, but you're not making a public announcement. Everything after here is the Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Gemara continues. We'll go just a little further. Rav Zera Chalash. Rav Zera got sick. Ol Legabe Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu went to visit him. Kabbal Alei, he accepted upon himself. E Mispach. If he gets better, and he called it by his nickname, Ketina Harashaki. Apparently he was not so tall, and he had, was like singed thighs. It means he was short. Avidna Yoma Tavala Rabbanan. I'm going to make a party for the rabbis, for the Talmidim, for the students. Ispach, Rabbi Zera got better. Avat Sudasa Lakula Rabbanan. So Rabbi Abo made a meal. He made a meal to celebrate Rabbi Zera's getting better. Amar Lei the Rabbi Zera, Lishrei Lamar. He says to Rabbi Zera, why don't you be botzeh? Why don't you begin the meal and make the brachos for us? So Amar Lei, lo sabar lamar lahod Rabbi Yochanan. Don't you hold Rabbi Yochanan, who was Rabbi Abba's Rabbi? The Amar balabayis botzeh. The person who's supposed to break bread is the balabayis, not the guest. Fine. So Shara Lahu, Rabbi Abahu broke bread. Kimata levaruche. When it came time to bench, Amar Lei nevarich lamar. Why doesn't the master bench? Lead us a benching. So Amar Lei, lo sabar lamar lahod Rav Huna demin Bavel. Do you not hold of the statement Rav Huna who's from Bavel? I don't know if the Gemara anywhere else refers to him. Rashi says it's Stam Rav Huna, but in Eretz Yisrael, so do you not hold of that Babylonian? What the Babylonian Rav Huna said, which is the Amar Botzea Mivarech, that the person who broke the bread is the person who's supposed to bench. It's like you bookends. You started the mitzvah, you finished the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, on this one, no. V'ihu k'man svirale, who does Rabbi Abo hold like with respect to Birkas Amazon? Ki hiada amar Rabbi Yochanan mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, bal habayis botzea, but oreach mevarech. The bal habayis is supposed to break bread, but the oreach is supposed to make the Birkas Amazon. Why? Bal habayis botzea k'dei shivatzea ba'ayin yofeh. The bal habayis breaks bread because he will do so with generosity. If you're an oreach, like, you don't know how much bread to break off because it's not yours, you feel. But the bal habayis, we hope he's generous. He's having people at his table. He will break bread generously. And the reason why the oreach is mevarech, oreach mevarech k'dei shivarech lebal habayis. There's a special bracha that oreach makes for the bal habayis. The Gemara says, my mevarech, what's the bracha? If you are a guest at someone's house and they ask you to lead the benching, so when you bench, it's printed in the benchers, the following text. The Gemara is shortened. Well, it's actually two parts. Yehi ratzon shelayovit yevosh bal habayis v'olam hazeh v'lo yikolei la'olam haba. May it be God's will that this bal habayis not suffer and be embarrassed in any way in this world, never suffer any embarrassment, and not be humiliated in the world to come. The Rebbe Mosef Badvarim, Rebbe would add on much more text. The Yitzlach Ma'od B'chol Nechasav, he should be very successful in his parnasa. The Yiu Nechasav U'Nechaseinu Mutzlachim U'Krovim La'ir. His and our property should be successful and you should be close to the city. Why Krovim La'ir? So Rashi explains. Because, and the Gemara has this notion in many places. The Gemara in Chulin says that the Shmuel used to survey his properties twice a day. Why? Because you need to make sure that one, things that were needed. I don't think it means you need to check his portfolio twice a day, because unless he's got plans, you know, but he probably put in a sell order or a buy order for that. But it means if you have things that you have to tend to, it means you have to pay attention to them. So if they're krovim la'ir, it's easy to pay attention to your assets. If your assets are local, if they're far away, then it's harder to pay attention to them. Okay, v'al yishlot satan lo b'maase yodav v'lo b'maase yedenu. Let a satan not have any influence upon his actions or our actions. V'al yizdakek lo l'fadav v'lo l'faneinu shum dvar hiruchet v'averav avon me'atav et olam. And in no thought of sin or iniquity or, I've run out of words, should in any way become attached to him or to us forever. Meaning we should be spared, we should not be tempted and fall prey to sin. So that's why the oreach, the guest, is supposed to make Baruch Samason, because the oreach, when he's done, when he gets the rachamans, you know, whether he does or doesn't say the rachamans on Shabbos, I would say this is the one rachamans, I don't say rachamans on Shabbos, but this yiratzon, I would say on Shabbos, for the balabayas. Okay.
Why don't you say rachamans on Shabbos?
Because they're bakashas. This is an old issue. So. All right, so we'll stop here. If there are no questions, let me just wish everybody a happy Rosh Chodesh, and we will Be'ezus Hashem resume next week.